Psalm 55 and verse 22. I'm going to read this from the King James Version first, and then we'll share a few other translations. But this scripture says, cast. You know, if I said cast, what does that mean to you? If you're fishing, if you're from South, I'm out fishing for catfish or something. But if I'm fishing and I cast, what am I doing? I'm throwing something, right? That means I'm not keeping it. If I had a hook on my fishing pole and I cast it, it ain't with me anymore, is it? I let it go, right? So cast thy, that means my burden, upon who? The Lord. Cast my burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Who's the righteous? We are in Christ. He's made us righteous in Christ. So we're the righteous. And let me read these from a few modern translations. This is the Message translation. It says, pile your troubles on God's shoulders. So that means if you've got some troubles, some burdens, some anxieties, some issues, he says, just give it to me. Pile it on God's shoulders. He'll carry your load. He'll help you out. He'll never let good people topple into ruin. Amen. The Living Bible says, give your burdens to the Lord. He will carry them. He will not permit the godly to slip or fall. The Amplified says, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it. That means we got to let it go. We got to get rid of it. If I'm burdened with something, and it could be anything. You know, I remember going through school when I was in high school, college, being worried about things. I'm not supposed to worry. Because this says here, if I have worry, if I have anxieties, whether I'm young, middle-aged, or old, you know, and each situation in life is different depending how old you are. You know, if you're young, you're thinking about the future. What the heck am I going to do with my life? You're not supposed to be concerned about that. It says right here, give that to God, and he will help you. That's what sustain means. Sustain means to guide you. It means to help you, to keep you, to hold you, to provide, to support, to nourish, to bear. That means he's going to help us. So that means if I'm real young and I'm concerned, give it to God. Now that maybe sound real easy, like, yeah, you don't know. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. And I really couldn't appreciate it because I'm not walking in your shoes. I don't know. But it never said that I'm supposed to understand what you're going through. Now, if God puts something in me to see or I may have walked through, because there is a scripture that Paul shared over in, let me just get that here for you. I'll read it for you. I believe it's in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. You can look at this. We'll go back again. But 2 Corinthians chapter 1. It says here, in verse 6, it says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation or your help and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. And whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. So what he was really saying is that when I'm afflicted, this is what Paul was saying, when I go through stuff, he said, it's really for your benefit. He's saying, so that when you go through it, I can help you. That's really what he was saying. But it never says that I'm supposed to try to understand or help you carry your load. In other words, it says you put it on the Lord. Now, he may use me to help you in certain areas of life. He may use us. But this says right here, it's our responsibility to cast our burdens upon the Lord. And then when I do that, you see, then God can then use the body of Christ to help people and to assist. Is that understood? Everybody understand that? That we need to be open to be used by God, that we can help people. He'll stir our hearts to help people. But here, this says we're supposed to cast our burden upon the Lord. And that means that he will sustain, he will help us. And another scripture, let me just read this here in Philippians chapter 4. You're all familiar with this. In verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing. That means no thing. What is nothing? Nothing, not one thing, is it? It says, be anxious or be careful. That English, old English word, it just means don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what happens when you do that? This says here, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure and lovely and of a good report, and if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what we're supposed to think on. So a lot of, you know, what I was been sharing with these messages is a lot of people, if you live in this world, you're going to have some conflict that you're going to walk through. I like what people say, if you live long enough, you're going to run into some things. You're going to just bump into some troubles in life. And things are going to surface that you didn't expect. Things that maybe you can't handle. And this says here, cast those burdens upon the Lord. Ask for his help. And it says here, he will not have, what does it say? It says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. So our help is in the Lord. And I'm convinced of this. You know, I've seen some things just in the ministry. You know, people walking through things. I've seen some that have gone through looking to God and convinced that God is going to help them. And I've seen some that are just struggling. They're bumping. They're not putting their hope in God. And, you know, with all that society may throw at us, we need to even after this, you know, as I see, even after all of this election process and all of this, some people are concerned. I like to say this, God is in charge. He raised up this nation, and no man, I don't care who's in office, is greater than God. No one is greater than God. What we're responsible to do is just exactly what it says in 1 Timothy. We're to continue to pray for those who are in authority that we, the church, may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So we're to believe for justice and right. That's why I say I believe God raises up people. You know, when you think about and you go back, I wasn't raised, you know, you can tell I wasn't raised of a different color. So I don't know what it's like to walk through some of those issues in society. I can't appreciate that, but some have. And because things were out of balance and were wrong, God raised up someone to turn it around. He raised up a Martin Luther King. Did he not? I'm not trying to preach issues in politics, but what I'm saying is God will raise up people in society to do what's right and just. And so we need to not so much, I'm not saying don't get involved in processes, but what I am saying is you pray to God and God will move upon people and raise people up to correct things that are not just and not right. And so we're to cast our burdens upon the Lord, not be worried about it. You know, I remember when, this was a number of years ago, there was a young lady that came in. She was, joined the church, and just a sweet, lovely young lady. And we found out after, just working with her, she came in during the day, and she would volunteer and so forth, and found out she was, she began to talk about it eventually, but she was from Haiti. And she was not documented. She was here illegally, right? And she said, coming to the church, this is down in our main location in Nanuet, coming and hearing the word, hearing the word, hearing the word. The word, the seed of the word, if you let it get in your heart, God will lead you to what's right. And so the Holy Ghost began to speak to her and say, you can't continue to do that. She was working for cash and working off the books and doing, but I mean, just a lovely person, a sweet, godly person, but the Holy Ghost said, don't do that anymore. You can't do that anymore. So she went to the owner of the establishment, who was Jewish, and she said, I can't do this anymore. I'm a Christian. I can't work off the books. So whatever you have to do. The man was so impressed with her honesty and so impressed with her work ethic that he said, I will pay you anyways. And she wanted to go to college. He paid for her college. He paid for it. And she worked through, and he said, I will help you get your green card. And he did. And she did. And he paid for her college. And then finally, she relocated. She went out to Oklahoma and went to a Bible school out there, graduated. And since then, we get pictures. She's married, has a couple of kids, and started her own nonprofit business. But you see, God will lead you. Now, for her, that was a problem. And she cast it upon the Lord. And so God led her to get it all worked out in her life. And so that's why I say, I don't care what we're faced with in life, if we look to God, He will show us how to get it fixed. He'll show us how to make it get corrected and worked out. And so we just need to look to Him, and He'll help us. 1 Peter, let's go over there for a minute. 1 Peter chapter 1. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. And let's look at... I want to get down to this particular verse here. Let's look at verse 1. It says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, it says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again, thank God, unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance. Man, I like that word. You know, you have an inheritance. Some of you say, I ain't got no money. I don't have no inheritance. I do. I've got an inheritance. And this says here, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away. Thank you, Jesus. Reserved in heaven for you. Now I want us to look at verse 5. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now jump over to chapter 5 for a minute of 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5. And look at verse 6 and 7. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And what is that? What's after the word time? My King James has a colon. And it says what? That means the thought continues. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to read some of these other translations. It says here, bring all your worries to him to carry for you. That's verse 7. This is an older translation. Bring all your worries to him to carry for you, for he is always concerned about you. Sometimes we don't really think that. I think we go through life, and if we really believed that he's always concerned about us, our prayers wouldn't sound like they do. Oh, God, please help me. Well, he said, I'm always concerned about you. So if he is, why do we pray like we do? That means we're not really convinced that he always is concerned about us. Why? Because we're walking through things, and it's things like, we think God's gone to Jamaica, I think. He's somewhere far, far away from my issue, right? You know, we wouldn't shout as loud as we do. He lives in us. And this is another translation. The Living Bible, it says, let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. He's watching everything that concerns you. And so if he does, now that doesn't mean, so if God is always concerned about us and watching everything that concerns us, that means he knows what's concerning us. He knows what's bothering us. And so, if that's the case, then that means that something that we learned on Friday night, that God has given power and authority. Authority is really delegated power. He's given authority to the church, the body of Christ. See, now I see Minister Joe here. He has a head, right? He has a head. He's got a little bit of hair on it, but he's got a head. I'm going to mess with him now. But he's got a head, right? But I wouldn't call his body Susie. Please don't do that, right? Don't call it Susie, right? So his head is Joe and his body is Joe. Right? Not Susie. Now, they're one in marriage, but they're two bodies. Right? They're one spirit, two bodies. They're joined in marriage. But it's the same thing. The body of Christ if Christ head, if he is Christ, what are we named? The body is named what? Christ. The scripture says that, you know. In 1 Corinthians, some of you look like that's, let me look here. I know it's in 2 Corinthians. I'm just looking at another scripture here. Okay, turn over here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, it says, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." And there's another scripture here. I was looking over here in 2 Corinthians. And go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. So start looking at verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what," and I want you to look at the contrast here, because it's talking about light and darkness here. It says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" So he compares somebody who's a believer and an unbeliever. He compares righteousness and unrighteousness. And then he says, "And what communion hath light with darkness?" So he compares those two, unrighteousness and righteousness, light and darkness. Look at verse 15. "And what concord hath," what? "Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" So what does he call the believer? Christ. And the unbeliever, Belial. Isn't that what the scripture just said? And of course, we read in 1 Corinthians, we just read, "He that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." So in God's word, we who are new believers, we who are righteous are named Christ, because we are in Christ. We're named by his name. We are the body of Christ. We're not named something other than the head. Everybody see that? So we are to turn our problems over to the Lord and give them to them. Let me get back here to 1 Peter. Now let's go back again to 1 Peter. I want to go back to 1 Peter chapter 1 again. Actually, before you do that, go to Hebrews. Keep going backwards to Hebrews chapter 11 for a minute. And I want us to look at this as a purpose here. Starting in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11, it says, "Now faith is," I'm reading from the King James, it says, "Now faith is the substance." If you think of substance, what do you think of something that has substance? It has materiality. This has substance, right? So that means faith has substance. That means it's something that has a weight or materiality. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, what has the evidence? Faith. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. And it's the substance, I like to say it this way, faith is the ground that I stand on. This concrete here is like my faith, and my hope sits on that which has substance. So my hope rests on that which has substance. If you didn't have faith, hope is really another word for hope is an expectation. So I can't expect something to happen without being convinced. A lot of people say, well, if you're not convinced that you're getting paid, you can hope all you want for your paycheck. You can hope for your paycheck, but if you're not convinced you're going to get it, then you've got no substance for that hope. Does that make sense? So faith, Bible faith, is substance, and it says here, it's the substance of something that I'm expecting to happen. So God tells us something in the Word that's ours. And so this says here, let me read some other translations that help. It says here, the Berkeley translation says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for. So faith forms the ground on which my hope stands on. If you don't have faith, you can hope to be saved, but you are convinced you're saved because you accepted Christ. You're convinced you're saved because of the Word of God. And so you can hope for your salvation, but the thing that gives it substance is your faith. Faith is the substance of that which you hope for. You can hope for salvation. You can hope for your healing. You can hope God will work something out. But your conviction is your faith. And that conviction is based upon what? Something that you read. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Let me read this here. This is another translation. It says, now faith forms a solid ground for our expectations. Faith forms a solid ground for our expectations, the proof of unseen realities. Here's another translation. It's called the Knox, KNOX. What is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes. Faith gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us of things we cannot see. What convinces us? My faith. My faith convinces me of things I don't see. And this says here, it says, it also gives substance to the things that I hope for. See. You could have no money in the bank, but be convinced that God is bringing it to you and opening doors of opportunity for you to get it. You can be convinced of that, but have little or no substance in the natural. And how does that conviction come? That conviction comes from me reading God's word and telling me I'm blessed. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And he said that all of my need has been met in Christ, in Philippians. So when I get that and that becomes real on the inside, something that has substance to me in God's eyes means something that becomes real to me. It has substance where? On the inside. See, let's use a different example, because that may not, maybe, how many are married? How many want to admit they're married? excuse me. Some don't want to admit that. All righty. Okay. Before you got married, you got to a point where you knew you were what? You were, let me use the word knew. You were convinced that that was the person for you. So you were convinced. Where were you convinced? In your head or your heart? Your heart. And that's where faith comes from. Sometimes we get goofy and spooky with stuff. And we just try to, you know, we say, well, this is spiritual and this is natural, and, you know, there's similarities. You get on an airplane and you are convinced when you bought that ticket, you're going somewhere. I got a destination that I'm going. You don't get on that plane and go, I sure hope we get there. No. Now, that's natural faith. I'm talking about something natural, but you're convinced that when you get in and you sit on your seat and the plane takes off, you're not going to end up in California when you're going to somewhere else, to Texas. You're convinced that I'm going where I'm supposed to go. And that, to me, it's the same thing here and similar. That faith, Bible faith, God kind of faith, gives conviction or gives you an assurance, or you are convinced that what you hope for, you have it, you got it. And you're going to see it come to pass. And that's, if you're not convinced about something, then keep feeding on God's word until you become convinced. Because otherwise, you're just going to be, what I want to say here. If you're not convinced, then it affects your hope. Your hope doesn't have a solid ground to rest on. Does that make sense? This is the Moffat's translation. Now, faith means, this is what it means, that we are confident of what we hope for, convinced of what we do not see. Now, this may seem somewhat basic, but I'll tell you, there's things that I've walked through. I've walked through a few things where it looked like there was no hope, no way I could come out of this. I remember one time, I was in an automobile accident. And in the natural, just from the natural standpoint, it was my fault. And I was sued because of that. And this was 30-some years ago. I was very young. And the lawsuit was somewhere in excess of $300,000. It was about $325,000, $350,000. It really doesn't matter. It was a whole lot of money. And so anyhow, I thought I was cooked. I was done. That was it for me. And so I was sitting in my office one day. I had just started the ministry here. I started working in the ministry about 1985. And this happened in 86. So you can Figure out how long ago that was. What is that, 30 years ago? So I'm sitting in my office, and the Holy Ghost, because I'm worried about this, I'm troubled in my mind, and I wasn't saying anything to God. He already knows what you're meditating on, what you're worried about, what you're fussing about. And I'm sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden, I didn't even know where the scripture was. I didn't know it. And up comes, I heard it down here. He said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, and you won't have, let me not quote it, Malachi 3:10. He said, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, and if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And he continued, and he said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Man, I got up off my chair and did a little jig and a dance and a shout. And I said, I'm a tither. I am a tither. And he said, if I am, I will rebuke the devourer. And I went, ho! He's rebuked. You don't know how much comfort that brought my spirit. Especially when you're facing that type of litigation and lawsuit. It lifted the burden. Now, I'd like to say it changed. It didn't change. Because you got to walk through a natural process. And so, the next 8 months, you know, I had to go through all of the process. I had to go through pretrial stuff and all of the, you know, the depositions and all of this kind of stuff that I had to do. And, you know, all of those worries and thoughts tried to creep back in your mind. Oh, God, what's happening? And then da-da-da-da-da. And I went like, wait, whoa, wait a minute. God spoke to me. He said this. Oh, yes. And every time those worries would come in, I'd go back to those things that the Lord spoke to me. And I said, no, I wasn't dreaming that. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was worrying about it. And he spoke to me. Wait a minute. No, he's going to work this out. And that would just buoy my, you know, kind of lift my spirits up. So it got down to this court case, because of the amount of money, it was going to the Supreme Court. This was no little joke civic court. This was going to the Supreme Court. And so it got down to the trial, and they said, well, you know, you're not needed. If you're needed, well, then we'll call on you. So this is the week of the trial. Monday goes by, Tuesday goes by, Wednesday goes by, Thursday goes by, and I'm thinking, that's strange. How come I didn't get called? Next week, it comes into next week. I think it was maybe 10 days after this. I get a letter in the mail. And, you know, fear tries to grip you. But I said, well, if they didn't call me, it must be good news. I got a letter that said the case has been settled within my insurance policy. And my insurance policy at the time was what I could afford. It wasn't illegal, but it was the least amount of insurance coverage that I had. It was like $5,100, which is like not much. So they settled this case within the limits of that insurance policy. God rebuked the devourer. He rebuked them. And so, you know, all I'm trying to say is, and of course I've, you know, got other stories that I've walked through, but the point is, cast your burden on the Lord. He knows exactly where you are. He's concerned about everything that you're concerned about. That's exactly what the scripture says here. That's what he's saying. He said here, First Peter 5:7, let him have all your worries and cares, for he is always thinking about you and watching everything that concerns you. So I don't care what it is that's concerning you. You've got to then embrace the fact that God is real. He that cometh unto God must what? Believe that he is. And he's what? He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Reward what? That means he's going to fix it.
Yes. Amen.
But I've got to come in what? Faith. That means I've got to come and say, God, I know you're real. I know you're alive. I know you know what I'm worried about, what I'm thinking about, what's bugging me. And I believe that you're going to fix it. You're going to work it out. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to come in faith. What? What is what? And my whole point with looking at the scripture on faith was faith is substance. It's the solid ground of what my expectation is. What's my expectation? My expectation is that God's going to fix it. He's going to fix my issue. And I've got to come convinced. That's what faith is. That's what we just got done reading here. Faith is the solid ground. That type of faith, that God kind of faith, comes to God believing that he is and that he's a rewarder. That means he's going to work it out. He's going to fix it. And so when you want to say, well, yeah, you don't know, you know, Pastor Greg and I, well, let me just leave that one alone. Because some people, even though you will share this in the Word of God, and you work, you know, look, I was where I was at when I started. I understand. But if you just want to think that your problem is bigger than God, then where do you go? How do you help someone in that situation? I mean, if people keep saying, yeah, but you don't understand. So what you're telling me is your problem is bigger than God. That's what you're telling me. So what else can we share? Then God will work on this if you will stick with it. And trust God and believe him. This says here, he's concerned about everything you are concerned about. Everything. I don't care what it is. He's concerned about it. And he will show us. Sometimes, you know, we don't like the solution. Sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes we have to change. And we don't like the answer, so we go, nah, I don't, you know. Or we suck our teeth or whatever we do, you know, we just, no, I don't like that, right? So we don't listen. Look, I was young, and now I'm older. And when I was young, I didn't like the answers my parents gave me. I didn't like those answers. Go do this. And I don't like that answer. They were trying to help me. And so it's the same thing. God's trying to help us when he gives us an answer or he sends someone into our life to help us. You know, be sensitive to know or be sensitive enough to say, that God's sending me somebody to help me. I don't like this, but must be help coming, you see. So anyways, you know, I can think about some things where I have to be honest. You know, I went through a period where I almost died. I was 6 months from death. And I got my body into, because of bad eating habits and bad habits, that I was about 6 months from death. The Lord spoke to me in the shower when I was taking a shower. My stomach was in major turmoil after a year of just, you know, trusting and believing God. And then sometimes God's got to just get in your space. And so when I'm standing in the shower, I heard down here, if you don't go to the doctor and get your stomach checked, you won't see the end of the year. Well, you would think I would have immediately gone to the doctor. I didn't. It took me about 2 weeks to go. But I did go. And eventually I got the right kind of help. But it was because when I look back now, there was a period where the Lord spoke to me, and I now go back and reflect and say, I was getting these small promptings, stop drinking coffee. Don't drink it anymore. Stop drinking coffee. Keep drinking it. I didn't stop. And so you get your body, if you do anything not in moderation, you can put your body over into a situation. We do live in a mortal body. And if we don't do things in moderation, now I'm not telling anybody in here not to drink coffee. Please don't do that and get over in the ditch. I am not telling you how to conduct your life, how to eat, what to eat. I'm just telling you about me, that God was nudging me to stop that. Why? Because he knew something about me that I didn't know, that I may go run into a brick wall. So every one of us, he will nudge us quietly when we're quiet and we want to listen. Don't eat those pork chops anymore. Don't eat this. Whatever it is. Adjust your diet. Lose weight. Do this. Walk more. Whatever that is. But God's trying to help us. Why? Because he's concerned about everything. And he's trying to help us if we'll listen. And then sometimes when we get over into a mess, we're down here, and he's been watching us and trying to help us the whole time, like he ain't been around. He's been there watching you, as I say, my dumb self, all along, not listening to his nudgings. And now all of a sudden we're bombarding heaven's gates for him to help, right? So be convinced that God is concerned about everything that concerns us. But we've got to listen and we've got to come believing that he is and expecting that God will reward us when we come in faith. If he says, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, that means I am blessed. I'm blessed with finances. I'm blessed with my health. Now, maybe you say, well, it doesn't look that way. Well, then who's right, me or God? God is. And so what I need to do is expect him to get into my thinking. That's why when it says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, Romans 12:2, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So I'm not thinking like how the world thinks. I'll give you another story. You like stories. This was many years ago. God spoke to me. And I was working the word in the area of healing. And it was important to me. So I said, God is going to work through this body. And I started exercising the word of God. What does that mean? Take each scripture, confess them, pronounce them, profess them. And God began to supernaturally work in my body. So when I was dealing with physical issues, God would work in and through it, and I'd receive some supernatural healings in my body. That's why when I had this stomach issue, I started down the same path that I'd been working for many years. And after a year, it wasn't working. But it was different because I had abused my body. It's like hitting your hand with a hammer. Wham, wham, wham. God, heal my hand. Wham! Heal my hand. Wham! Well, I was abusing my body and expecting him to heal it. So anyways, God knew what I was thinking about. That's why he's concerned about what you're worried about. And I was in bed one time with some sickness in my body. I had a very high fever. And I just decided to start laughing at the symptoms. I didn't feel anything. I felt nothing. I just made a choice to start laughing at the symptoms. And I was delirious. I had about 104, 105 temperature. Probably should have gone to the hospital. But anyways, I started to laugh like this. Ha, ha, ha. That's pretty sad, right? And I did that, ha, ha, ha. I just started laughing, just like that, for about 10, 15 minutes. Guess what happened? Stirring started happening down here. Stirring started happening because I was doing it in faith. I started going, ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. And it started to stir down here. The Holy Ghost started to stir. And it stirred me to laugh louder. And I got to the place where I was laughing and shouting with laughter at the top of my lungs in the house. Literally at the top of my lungs in laughter. I didn't start there. And then after a certain amount of time, it lifted. There was such a presence in the room. It lifted. And the Holy Ghost started to speak to me, not about my health. He started talking to me about my finances. He knew me. And this is what he said. He said, if you will work the word in the area of finances like you're working the word in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. Ooh. And he read my mail because I wasn't. I was not exercising my faith in the area of finances. But I was in the area of healing. So what does that mean? So I immediately began to start confessing the word in the area of finances. I began to tithe and command money to come into me. I began to say with my mouth. I didn't have two nickels to rub together. I had no money in the savings account. Well, I had some. And I began to confess the word. After about a year or so, well, longer actually, maybe about 4, 5, 6 years, one day I'm home, and the Holy Ghost, and I knew it was, but it was different. He said, buy Apple stock. Buy Apple stock. Why? I never invested in stock. I wasn't a stock investor. I wasn't somebody who bought the Wall Street Journal and checked out all where the stock market was. I never did. And guess what? I didn't obey. I didn't buy Apple stock. You know how cheap Apple stock was? It helps me when I say this because I have to do it to help me. Every now and then I tell this story so that I don't do the same dumb thing again. Here I am working the word. I'm giving God something to work with, and it comes in a way that I'm unfamiliar. So I didn't do anything. It was $40 a share. It went up to $700 a share before it split. I did not a thing. And God was trying to get money to me, and I had money in the bank to probably buy, let's see, I probably had about 5 or 6 thousand, so you figure it out. What would that be? Maybe 100 shares or maybe whatever. But still, if it was 100 shares more, but still, I could have gotten off of that a return of maybe $100,000 by the time it was all done in a short period. Dumb. Not listening. And so something came in an unfamiliar way to me that I wasn't used to, but it was God. And so all I'm sharing is that God is concerned. He knew. He showed me what to do. And when I started doing it, He brought the answer, but the answer came in a way that I was not familiar with. And I was hesitant. Like, oh no, what, this is unfamiliar. What? Instead of being convinced, this is God, forget about it, don't fear, just jump right in, both feet, and go. I didn't do that. And so I share all of that to say that work the word of God in your life and expect that God is hearing. He's concerned. God is going to answer your prayer. He's going to come, but it may be in a way that you're not familiar. Maybe an answer, but it is going to be an answer. He said, if you come in faith, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, I'm going to just wrap up here for a minute. Let's go back over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1 again. And I want you to look at verse 5. Verse 5 says here, who are kept by the power of God through faith. How are you kept by the power of God? Some people will say, well, God does everything. This says here, he does, but it says here, how are we kept by the power of God? Through faith, that means your faith. Through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Let me read some translations here on 1 Peter 1:5. We read in the King James, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Listen to this translation. And you, this is the Beck translation, and you, by believing, are protected by God's power. You, by believing, are protected by God's power. This is a translation called the Barclay translation. It says, your faith has made the power of God the guardian of your lives. Well, I'll tell you. That means I've got a divine entourage protecting me. This says here, my faith has made the power of God the guardian of my life. This is another. It's called the Centenary Translation. It says, you who through faith are continuously guarded by the power of God. Your faith causes the power of God to continually guard you. So don't anybody ever think that God's not, I'm sure if we open the floor here, there's story after story of how God protected you, saved your life, intervened. That's what this is here. He's guarded us. This is the Phillips translation. It says, you are guarded by the power of God operating through your faith. So our faith is going to have and cause the power of God to protect us. So I don't care where we are. We can put our heads down at night. We can know the things that are unexpected. People trying to do harm, or something that's going to come and do harm to you that's unexpected. This says here, we can be assured. And how do we get the faith of God to operate? You believe this and you start saying it. You say, thank you, God. When I go about my business today, I thank you that I am kept, I am protected, I am guarded by your power. You know, you may say, well, okay, Let's take this a minute. Let's take this a step further. Go over to Psalm 91 for a minute. Look what David did in Psalm 91. See, David You think David went through some stuff? Oh, yeah. David went through some things. Verse 1, it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now look what David did. I will say, see, this is the important part here. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I tell you, that needs to get down in our heart every day. He is my refuge, he's my strength, in him will I trust. When I start to do that, this says here that we are kept by the power of God through our faith. This is faith talking right here. This is David talking by faith. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Now, when we just got done looking at 1 Peter, how the power of God will guardian over us and protect us, look down through Psalm 91. Did it protect David? Oh, yes, sir. Yes, it did. Surely, David's still talking here. Surely he shall deliver thee, or you could say me, from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover, I like to put me with his feathers, and under his wings shalt I trust. His truth shall be my shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror night by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh me. Amen. Now, you know, when you look at this verse 7, it says 1,000 shall fall at thy side. It doesn't say what that 1,000 fell from. It doesn't say that. They could have fallen from some plague. They could have fallen financially. This also, I don't care if every marriage falls, and it don't have to affect me. See? 1,000 marriages may fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right. It ain't coming nigh me. Financial ruin is not coming nigh me. Why? Because he is my refuge and my fortress. In him will I trust. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's the one that's going to keep me by faith through his power. He's going to guard me and protect me. Amen. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. I'm protected, kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. Verse 12, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Verse 14, because this is something he's talking about us now, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. We are seated in Christ, at the right hand of the Father in Christ. Ephesians 2:8 or 2:5, 2:6, somewhere in there. I think it's 2:6. Verse 15, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And because of all of that, because he's delivered you, you can make it to a long life. So right here, with long life, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. We're protected, we're guarded by the power of God. So we can be assured, we're convinced. What? David was convinced. He didn't even have what we have. We've got a better covenant. We've got Christ living in us. We've got a better covenant. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And so for us, we can come in faith and expect God to work in our lives. You know, I heard somebody say this being interviewed. Brother Hagin shared this to his daughter. This was being interviewed. Patsy Harrison. And Brother Hagin said to her, when you go through tough times in life, when you walk through tough times, he said, do three things. He said, keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about it. Keep your mouth shut. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. And the other thing he said was, only say those things that the Spirit of God gives you to say about that situation. Don't talk about it. Because we can see, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What are you hoping for? Are you in fear? Are you hoping for the negative? So sometimes when fear tries to grip us in things, we can begin to speak and we're releasing words of fear. Because when you release words, your words are your faith speaking. So what is your faith? Is your faith in God resolving the problem? Or are you in faith talking about the negative, which is really fear? So when we walk through tough issues, keep our mouths closed, pray in the Spirit, and only release the words. What does that mean? Don't talk about it? That's exactly right. Don't talk about how hard it is. I'm this, I'm that. This will never change. I don't know what I'm going to do. No, God is worried, or not worried, he's concerned about everything you're concerned about. He will show us what to do. He will reveal to us what we're supposed to do about every situation in life. And so when we're walking through some tough issues, look to the Holy One inside of us. Look to God who lives on the inside of us, and he'll speak to us. He'll show us what to do if we look to him. Right? What is the scripture? He that cometh unto God. Where does God live? He's inside you. He'll show you what to do. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Well, I hope you got a little something. This is something that you can take and start to work in your everyday life. Take the principles of this. Again, the CDs will be back up here next Sunday. So if you want them, they're up here. They don't charge anything. Or if you want to listen to it in the meantime, it'll be up on our website to listen to by Tuesday. So listen to it over and over again. Feed upon it. Meditate upon it. And not just feed and meditate, but let God show you one little thing that you need to make an adjustment in your life and do it. Start exercising that. Start working, as we call it, working God's word. What does that mean? Believing it and saying it. And expecting things to change. Amen. Amen.